Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we're going to continue to talk about the picture book of the Bible, not trying to undermine the clear teaching of the Bible, but to say the Bible often speaks of theology using pictures. And so we've been considering some different areas of theology and the pictures that they present. Before we get into our pictures for today, I'll remind you to do the podcasty things, as I've heard it said, of giving ratings and reviews. That really does help other people to find out about the teaching that we're doing here on Integrated. And that would be a great blessing to us to get the word around a little bit more. Well, I don't think I would have skipped right to pictures the Bible teaches about hell, but a well-known Christian spokesman recently publicly questioned ECT when it comes to hell, which is eternal conscious torment, which we understand that to be the teaching of the Bible when it comes to hell. And this teacher questioned it and kind of said, well, maybe it's annihilationism. Maybe that fits more with God's character than this teaching that God will punish those that reject Christ for all eternity and that they will be aware of it and they will be conscious of it and they will be tormented by it. But that is such a serious, serious difference in our understanding of it. And of course, we're going to look at some pictures, but the pictures are interpreted by clear passages of the Bible, which describe these things. So I want to start there. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 45, this is at the end of the section about the final judgment with the sheep and the goats. And he says, Jesus is talking, then he will answer them saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, I understand people that hold different views do different things with some of the key words. And so when they read eternal punishment, they don't want to see it as everlasting, right? But we have to just point out that in this very same sentence, the exact same language is used for eternal punishment and eternal life. It's a sobering, sobering thing. But we have to acknowledge that whatever eternal life means, eternal punishment also means that as well. I mean, hell is so sobering and it is so terrible to think about. We don't wonder that people would struggle. Yes, they struggle. And yes, it's difficult. It's very difficult. One time I was at a conference with John Piper and it was at the Bethlehem Pastors Conference in Minneapolis. He wanted a speaker to speak on hell. So he chose Sinclair Ferguson because he said Sinclair would do it with a tear in his eye. He would teach faithfully what the Bible would say, but he would have appropriate, sober passion when it came to it and compassion for those that are going to that very real place. And we know when Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, this is a very powerful image. And some people would say, well, maybe this is just a parable or something like that. But Jesus names names. He doesn't name people in parables. And here he's got a specific person named Lazarus. And I mean, I realize some of the other details kind of sound like parables, but even then, parables teach clear teaching. It's not like they're just completely random, made up, and they can mean anything. No, these are clear teaching passages from Scripture. And so when Jesus quotes the rich man who is in this place of torment, not the final place of torment, this is the in-between stage before Jesus comes back and the dead are raised to everlasting punishment and the righteous are raised to everlasting life. Even now, there's a place of relief for our spirits and a place of punishment for those that are headed to hell. And so the rich man, he's buried, and it says in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. And we don't have to keep going there, but all I want to say is, listen, we don't just make these things up when we use these descriptive words like eternal, conscious, torment. We use these words because that's what the Bible says. So let's open our picture books and let's see if there are some pictures that the Bible uses to describe this awful place. And picture number one, a garbage dump. And you say, well, the garbage dump, that doesn't sound exactly right. How would we think about that? And we have to say that the word Jesus uses for hell in most of his teaching is the word Gehenna. And Gehenna is related to the Valley of Hinnom, which runs south and west of the city of Jerusalem. Now, historically, so where do we see this word? Well, one just clear example is in Luke chapter 12, verse 4. I tell you, these are the words of Jesus. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So the word hell is the word for Gehenna. Now, historically, this valley that runs to the south and west of Jerusalem was the place where Israel sacrificed their children to Molech, right? 2 Chronicles 28:3. Godly King Josiah ended that practice in 2 Kings 23:10. But it was still considered a cursed place even through the ministry of Jeremiah. That valley where they had committed those outrageous acts was considered cursed. And in the New Testament times, they knew what to do with such a place. They turned it into the city garbage dump of Jerusalem. And it was a place where they were continuously burning their garbage. So that was a place of fire, smoke, stench, worms. It was considered hideous and foul. This horribly descriptive term, Gehenna, is a fitting place for the real hell. Now, Ted Donnelly was a pastor and professor in Belfast, Northern Ireland. And he had a really important book, I thought, the biblical teaching on the doctrine of heaven and hell that Banner of Truth published. And very important, very good. They were taken from some sermons. Again, Ted Donnelly was another one of those preachers like Sinclair Ferguson that took the Bible's teaching with the utmost seriousness. So some of the things that I'm saying and some of the quotes from today are from his book. The chapters on heaven are glorious. The chapters on hell are awful, sobering. So such a terrible, such a terrible place. In addition to just being the garbage dump, I guess if we made another picture, I could have a picture you turn in your picture book and it's completely black, because the Bible also describes hell as a place of darkness, outer darkness, if you will. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. While the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, he's talking about the Jews that have rejected Jesus. They're going to go to this place of outer darkness. What a contrast. The contrast, of course, is with God. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So some people say, well, the worst thing about hell is God's not there. No, it's worse than that. God is there, but he's there in his judgment. He's not there in his mercy and grace. He removes the revelation of his godly purity, character, and it's just judgment for their lack of repentance. So far we've seen some really tough pictures to look at, but there's more. We've got to take a break now, and the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. We want to be faithful to go where the Bible takes us, even when we have to understand that there is an awful place called hell.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotz in just a moment. And so he just addressed something that a lot of us know about at the moment, which is a prominent Christian teacher who's been publicly questioning eternal conscious torment in favor of annihilationism. And instead of getting into theological debates, he went straight to Scripture's own words. We are watching in real time the doctrinal erosion that's happening with influential voices. I'm not talking about liberal seminaries who are pumping out progressive pastors or even men who are part of progressive denominations. No, I'm talking about people within conservative evangelicalism now questioning foundational biblical teaching because they feel uncomfortable with God's form of justice. That's a problem. That's a pattern, and it reveals something extremely dangerous about modern Christianity. We're editing Scripture based on our own emotional comfort rather than submitting to the direct authoritative word of God. That's why Fortis Plus matters so much right now. Fortis Plus is delivering content every single day that builds confidence in Scripture's authority, even when cultural voices, including Christian ones, start to suggest that it needs to be updated. We're releasing content every single day. Right now, hundreds, even thousands of hours of audio and video content are available on Fortis Plus, and we're adding to it every single day. And you have access to it absolutely free of charge, because we believe defending biblical truth should not cost you any money, especially when the attacks on biblical truth are free and frequent. So go to where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org and you'll find Fortis Plus completely 100% free. And the reason that you'll find it for free is because of our gospel partners, men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute, and they believe in it so much that they've decided that they want to link arms with us because they want more people in more places all over the world to have access to content that addresses doctrinal drift and access to content that helps you understand why biblical fidelity matters more than ever in this culture we're living in. All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to get all the answers to all of the questions you have about what it would look like in your life to do just that. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Crotz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Crotz.
Welcome back. Today we are looking at biblical pictures of hell in the Bible and understanding more of the Bible's teaching through those pictures and therefore trying to apply them to our lives. Today we are kind of interacting over the pictures of hell. And we skipped ahead because there are people, even well-known people, who are denying the Bible's teaching of eternal conscious torment. They're asking questions about it. Let me tell you what, even to ask questions about the Bible's teaching is dangerous business. Yeah, we want to wrestle with the truth and understand it, but we want to submit to it. We don't want to question the Bible's teaching. There's a difference between asking questions and questioning it. And when a person gets on a podcast publicly, puts it up online that he's asking these questions, he's already gone there in his heart, most likely. And so don't say, well, it's okay just to ask questions as long as he doesn't finally commit to it. No, the very asking of questions is dangerous ground. The Bible so far, the pictures we've seen, yes, the garbage dump, Gehenna, and just this place of darkness. Ted Donnelly, in his book, Biblical Teaching on the Doctrine of Heaven and Hell, says to perish means that you, being as a being, will become ever more degraded, more contemptible, more lonely. You will be surrounded by devils and by damned and wicked humans. They will hate you and you will hate them. Everything good in you will be taken away and everything bad in you let loose. All your evil passions will burn, increasing and consuming you until you become utterly foul. Such will be your existence. How wretched! Nothing good, nothing worthwhile. A horrible, monotonous dreariness, unenlivened by a single ray of light as you fester and stew in your loathsomeness. This is what will happen to you. Think of the most hopeless derelict in the gutter. His existence is a paradise compared with the poverty of hell. My goodness, those are very sobering words. Well, three other pictures that we could just turn in our picture book and we'll just look at them briefly, but soberly. One picture, a weeping and gnashing of teeth. We saw the verse already in Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. While the sons of the kingdom, that is the Jews that reject Jesus, will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, weeping, wow. I mean, when do you weep? Times of profound grief or intense pain? It's so bitter. And the teeth grinding, as Donnelly says, this is what belongs to raging animals and the insane. Quote, so the damned will be grinding their teeth in rage, in helpless anger at their companions, at themselves, at their sins, at God himself. I don't need to really make any more comments. These are terrible pictures, but they're pictures that our Lord Jesus brings to us. That's really important to say. Jesus had a lot to say about hell, and we dare not minimize it. Even though it's awful for us to think about it, our Lord thinks we need to think about it, and so he brings us these pictures. Here's another one. Think of a rotting body on a battlefield. I think that's the right kind of idea or picture for when Jesus talks about where the worm doesn't die and the fire doesn't end. A place like Mark chapter 9, verse 48. In verse 47, Jesus says, and if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So here you've got this imagery of a guy that's dying on the battlefield, and he can't move. The flames of you know, leftover weapons and bombs are still smoldering. His body's being eaten up. The worms or the maggots are there. Again, Ted Donnelly thinks that the undying worm continually gnawing at hell's inhabitants is their conscience. It can be painful in this life, right? Our conscience is going, oh, you shouldn't have done that. But how much worse will that be in hell? And it's not just the battlefield, right? This is a picture of what the Bible teaches, that this is everlasting version of this torment. It's so bad. And then I think we have to go to a final picture. And it is the picture of the lake of fire. Fire, this painful image that comes up in the Bible's teaching about hell. Of course, hell was designed for the devil and his angels, the demons. And of course, the end of the devil shows up in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Why do we say eternal conscious torment? Because there's going to be eternal conscious torment. And he goes on to say in Revelation 21:8, says, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So that place that was designed for the devil is also going to be the place for the eternal conscious torment of those that reject Jesus. It's so sobering, but it's so important. And it's throughout the New Testament. It's not just a random verse that different people have interpreted differently. No, this is the consistent teaching of the Bible. We wouldn't go there if the Bible didn't take us there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Again, this is the verse right before. It talks about in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might. Again, I'm going to say that's away from his gracious presence. It is not away from his vengeance and his just judgment against their sins. All right, why does this matter? Does it matter if somebody denies hell? Does it matter if they just switch it and say, well, this seems to fit what I think about God if he just makes them disappear? Wouldn't that be more like God? Well, God, we know what God's like because God tells us what he's like in the Bible. We don't get to say, this is what I think and this is what I wish it was like. God reveals himself in the scriptures, and he definitely reveals eternal conscious torment in hell. Why does it matter? It matters because of the cross. Wow, how'd you get there? Well, if we understand that hell is a real place and a real just judgment on those who reject Jesus, then we understand that the cross is the place where the God-man, the eternal God-man, came to take the eternal punishment that sinners deserve. That's why it was so important that Jesus had to be truly God and truly man. Together, the God-man died on the cross for us and for our sins. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he tells us he took hell on himself in his body on the cross for our sins. How should we respond? What should we do about hell? Well, Jesus himself tells us. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Fear God. That's one great application. Another great application is to tell people about hell and tell people about the provision Jesus made to escape such a place. We need to take life more seriously, knowing that there is such a place called hell. Because it's real. I know it's not, we can't just sit here and think about it all the time. We are just agonized thinking about it even during the time we're looking at some of these pictures. It is so difficult for me to talk about and you to hear, but it is a real place and we need to be aware of it and live in light of its reality. If you don't know Jesus, this is the place where you're headed right now, and you are not guaranteed today, even to put your head on your pillow tonight before you meet the Lord. So by all means, fear God. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus, who did die on the cross and rose from the dead, and you will be saved from this place called hell.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.